This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area Wednesday, March 6, 2013. The Natural Resources Conservation Service said Tuesday that with time running out to play catch-up, Colorado's snowpack remains well below average. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, it increased only nominally last month. Storm systems boosted the state average to 73% of normal on March 1st, compared to 71% as of January 1st and February 1st. But it was just 83% of the level at this time last year. In a news release, the NRCS said, quote, "The most recent stream flow forecasts continue to point towards well below normal volumes for this spring and summer in all the major river basins in Colorado. Reservoir storage across the state remains well below average at just 71% of average as of March 1st and 67% of the same time a year ago." That's reservoir storage. Reservoir levels generally were much higher a year ago, but storage was drawn down because of the poor snowpack last year. The agency said, quote, "Unless Colorado sees weather patterns in March that bring well above average snowfall and precipitation to the state, there will not be much relief from the current drought conditions." The combined San Miguel, Dolores, Animas, and San Juan basins' March 1st snowpack was 83% compared to 88% a month earlier. The South Platte Basin showed the largest increase, hitting 63% of normal, up from 54% a month earlier. The Colorado Basin is at 70% of normal and 86% of the same time a year ago. For the Gunnison Basin, those figures are 74% of normal and 87% of that same period last year. In response to the wet weather we've been experiencing so far this month, Eric Knight, hydrologist with the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, said yesterday, quote, "As long as we don't get a repeat of March last year, we should come out ahead. Anything would be better than the hot, dry wind we saw last March." Knight said one bright spot, such as it is Grand Mesa, noting that snows piling up on the mountain overlooking the Grand Valley make it one of the better spots in the state. Speaking of water, the Sentinel is also reporting the U.S. Forest Service is rethinking its approach to a directive that was thrown out of court this year when ski areas sued to halt a new federal policy. As KVNF reported last year, the Forest Service required new owners of Powderhorn Mountain Resort to sign over water rights as a condition of obtaining a permit to operate the resort, which sits on Forest Service land. It was the first time that the Forest Service directive was used. The National Ski Area Association, which represents ski areas across the country, filed suit last year, contending enforcement of the directive amounted to a taking of private property. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack said, quote, "I will tell you that the focus here is making sure we use our U.S. Forest Service lands in the most appropriate way to conserve and preserve water. One of our driving principles of forest management is water management, because we recognize how precious the water is," end quote. Forest Service officials had said it was necessary for the agency to hold the water rights, which are generally used for snowmaking, so that ski areas couldn't sell the rights should they become more valuable for other purposes. Other opponents of the directive said they feared the federal government would seize water rights for other uses, such as grazing or municipal water supplies, if it succeeded with the taking ski area water rights. After learning of Vilsack's comments, Club 20 Executive Director Bonnie Peterson said those issues aren't going away. Quoting Peterson, "I did not get a sense or any indication that the Forest Service is going to change its posture. They'll plan public hearings, and whatever happens remains to be seen." Welcome to the KVNF comment line. These comments came over the past 6 months, but from now on, we'll be playing the most recent comments on the first Wednesday of every month during the newscast.
Hey, my name's Jenny from Montrose. I'm just jamming out to the Freak Show, fixing some lunch, dinner, and it is awesome. I just wanted to let you know. I'm having a great time. I think you're hilarious, and keep it up. You're a great DJ. Bye.
Hi, this is Dave Conger in Montrose. I just wanted to say I love your new local newscast in the morning, Brian Cambra. I like the fact that we're getting a local perspective on news and local things that I wouldn't hear about otherwise on the national broadcast. Keep up the good work. I like that local newscast. Thanks a lot, and love you guys. Bye.
Yeah, my name is Judd Kleinman. And I just wanted to say that I just got back from being out of town for a while and listening and heard some of the new pre-recorded ads, and something I really don't like. It reminds me too much of commercial radio.
Hi, my name is Julia. I'm listening from Ridgeway to the Medicine Show, and I just want to say that I love the selection of music and particularly the didgeridoo that I heard earlier. Thanks for a wonderful Sunday morning. Bye.
I'm trying to listen to you on iTunes, where I listened for several months prior and recently was dropped. I can pick you up on your web station, so I know you're still streaming on the web, but for some reason it's not on iTunes anymore. And I don't know if that's a difficulty with iTunes or not. I wonder if I can get some technical help. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Hey, Wayne. Good evening. This is John and Carrie Coy in Lake City, rocking to this great opera. We'd just like to know what we're listening to. And we are members. We love your station. So let us know what we're listening to. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Salma. I was just listening to the presidential race on NPR, and after they let us know that Obama had won, they let us also know that they're sponsored by the American National Gas Alliance, working to, I believe it's preserve the health of the environment and support energy independence in this country or something along that lines, and just letting us know that they're still there and that they have their money in our news organization, namely NPR, and they have some sway.
Hi there. I'm finally inspired to use your comment line because I'd like to comment on the number of self-promotional plays that you're doing. I know that you're not an advertising radio station, but it seems like you're promoting certain programs to a huge extent where it's gotten to be really boring and repetitive. The music box, the big bands, the blues and other colors, and now this new one about some classical thing that appears once a month. You know, your regular listeners already know that these programs are out there, and I don't think we plan our life according to when these shows are on the air. Anyway, I just thought I'd comment and say that maybe you could decrease the number of those self-promotion things. Okay, I guess that's it. Yeah, you just might want to consider who your target audience is, because we already know about it, and we've heard it over and 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 over.
If you have a comment about our programming, call us at 970-765-8680, and you may hear your comment on the air. Thanks for listening. Now, moving on. Matthew Kane is a freshman in the launch program at the Surface Creek Vision School. As a part of the curriculum, Matthew is working with KVNS Allie Lightfoot to report on legislation or activities that may be compromising our rights as U.S. citizens. Here, Matthew talks about new Internet legislation, which he believes is violating our First and Fourth Amendment rights.
The Stop Online Piracy Act, also known as SOPA, came into legislation in 2012. Many internet users across the globe were enraged because the bill was supposed to protect intellectual property. But instead, it could shut off websites and the provider did not comply with new rules. For instance, if you posted a video with a music in the background that had a copyright, you'd be subjected to prosecution and could be incarcerated for up to 5 years or pay a large fine. One internet activist who strongly opposed this bill was Aaron Schwartz. Schwartz co-owned Reddit, a popular social media website. He also created the RSS feed, a family of web feeds, and the Creative Commons organization, which allows web users to copy, remix, and use free content. Schwartz was also co-founder of Demand Progress, an advocacy group that organizes people online to take action by contacting Congress and other leaders, funding pressure tactics, and spreading the word about civil liberties, government reform, and other issues. Schwartz believed the SOPA bill would shut down whole websites and stop Americans from communicating entirely with certain groups. He felt it was a violation of the First Amendment and government should not have as much control over information and freedom of speech. Google, some Twitter accounts, Wikipedia, and many internet users joined the protest by shutting down their links in a 12-hour blackout on January 18, 2012. On January 20th, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Smith postponed the plans to draft the SOPA bill, stating it would table the legislation until there was a wider agreement on a solution. Schwartz committed suicide on January 15, 2013, following a 35-year prison sentence he received for illegally downloading academic journals from a digital library at MIT. Speaking at his son's funeral, Robert Schwartz, an intellectual property consultant to MIT's Media Lab, said, "Aaron was killed by the government, and MIT betrayed all of its basic principles." The fight against SOPA and other internet control legislation continues. The Internet Defense League is an organization formed in 2012 specifically to protest this kind of legislation. The recently introduced Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act of 2013 essentially does the same thing as the Stop Online Piracy Act, but also allows private and government officials to bring out private information by a trusted provider to spy on citizens. The International Day of Privacy, organized by activists who oppose this kind of legislation, took place on February 23rd. The participants expressed they want to see change and were concerned about the First and Fourth Amendment rights. "I believe in this day and age, people should have access to a world of information at their fingertips. It's great to be in the digital age. We should not take it for granted and do what we can do to protect it and protect our rights." Some feel that there's even a bigger battle in our midst. The National Defense Authorization Act of 2013 enables the Secretary of Defense to give out an executive order to incarcerate American citizens on American soil without due process and without a warrant if suspected. But that's for another time. Stay tuned for KVNF on the next Attack on Rights report. This is Matthew Kane with the first Kane report, signing off.
Indeed, that was our first Attack on Rights report from Cedar Edge Vision student and high school freshman Matthew Kane. Stay tuned for more reports from Matthew on KVNF. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.